Welcome to the In Hope Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Preach.
And I'm Brandon. And each week we drop an episode to strengthen unity in the body of Christ.
We want you to be part of the conversation. So make sure you like, share, subscribe, and let's talk. All right. Well, welcome back to the In Hope Podcast. Brandon, did you want to introduce the topic for today?
Yeah. So in our last episode, we kind of revamped our mission a little bit to make it a little more concise. And we shared that with you if you want to go back and listen to it. But we're going to tackle some of the things that are within that and why we want to see that stuff come to light and encourage and equip you guys in this way. And so today we're talking about, I'll say the whole mission statement, which is we exist to equip young leaders to shepherd the church away from division and towards a unified movement. And so we're going to go into the part of shepherding. Helping the leaders to shepherd their church and the role that we are called to in that, and just how we have Jesus as that example to follow. And so that's what we want to talk about today is equipping these young leaders to be the shepherds that they've been called to be.
Yeah. And if so, especially as a young leader within the church, you know, it's funny. I was talking with some people just the other day. Actually, I think we may have mentioned this on our Advent just recently. We've been dropping Advent episodes each day. And I think we just recently mentioned how the shepherds were the first to hear the announcement of Jesus' birth. How during that time, shepherds, they were, you know, kind of at the lower end of society, if you want to put it gently. So shepherds were kind of down at the lower end of things. And it's interesting because it's kind of like these outcasts were also so fundamental and so central to Israel. And all the way from the beginning to their nation, it was such a intrinsic and foundational part of the way of life and Israel's being. And so you can kind of see this.
Oh, you see it all through scripture.
Yeah, you see it all through scripture. And I mean, and you track back. So, I mean, as we mentioned, and I think we're going to have to pull it up. I don't know if you want to pull it up or if I read it here, but we're going to have to read a little bit about how Jesus talking about the good shepherd and how he is the good shepherd. So you go from Jesus, which I mean is, you know, that's the pinnacle, right? Can't go any better than that, any greater than that. But if you just walk back through Israel's history, from Jesus, you can jump back to David.
David was
coming from this lineage of David. David was a shepherd, and he tells David, I brought you to shepherd my people. He tells David that he called him to shepherd his people.
Yeah.
And so we see that label even given to David, a king of Israel, as a shepherd. And then you go back, and I'm just going to jump all the way back to Israel's beginning, but where it's really captured is when Israel and his sons, his 12 sons, are moving into Egypt. There's about 70 of them that move into Egypt. Joseph has already been there. And Joseph is, you know, the second highest in the land. He's the governor of the land. He tells his siblings that when Pharaoh asks what you do, to let him know how you are shepherds, how, you know, you have livestock, and that's what you do. That's what your parents have done in the generations before you. And so we're talking about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the patriarchs, jumping into to David, right? Jumping forward to Jesus. We see this among the heroes of the faith.
Yeah.
They were shepherds.
They were shepherds first.
They were shepherds
and then shepherds
first.
After in a different way.
Right? Like
they moved from the literal to the spiritual. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I actually looked up some really cool things about what a literal shepherd is meant to do and then how that relates to the spiritual side of things.
Oh,
so
come on.
We got lots to talk about today.
Okay. That's good stuff.
So do you want to read that first, or do you want me to share some of the stuff?
Go ahead and share some of those things. Right, cool. I'll look up real fast.
Yeah. I looked up just like, what is the core duty of a shepherd? and this is an actual shepherd, right? Someone who's shepherding sheep and leading and guiding. So they direct the sheep to fresh grazing lands and water sources to make sure that they're well fed and well watered. And so they navigate the terrain, they ensure that they find rest. So that leading and guiding, protecting, they defend the vulnerable flock from predators. So there's predators out there that would like to take out sheep. You got wolves, you got thieves even, and hazards. So they act as a guardian and a shield to the sheep. And then feeding and sustaining, they ensure they have enough food. So that's part of that, same as leading and guiding, but making sure they're able to survive and be healthy. And caring for the young, they assist with the birthing process and helping the younger lambs with their parents and getting them onto their feet.
Yeah.
And then it says health management. So they treat parasites. They bring healing in ways, shearing wool and providing general veterinary care. So they were actually their vets as well.
Yeah.
So they needed to have all those skills to be able to shepherd well.
Wow. And it's funny because in that you see so many of the titles we give to Jesus.
Yeah.
Right. He is the great
healer,
physician,
provider.
Right? He is the healer. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. Definitely covers a lot of that. So you see, I mean, why Jesus used, and everybody in that time would have known this, right? Because they were all like, or the bulk of people were farmers or flock or like ranchers, basically what we'd call a rancher here in America, and taking care of flocks and different animals and things. And so most people had a general understanding way more than we would today, probably of what that process looked like and what was required of it.
Exactly. Cause I mean, we just take our dogs and to the vet.
Yeah. We take them to the vet and we get our food from the supermarket. It's already all taken care of. And so most of us aren't in that space, but many of you are that might be listening, might have been grown up on a farm or something. So you understand that, but in this time, most people would have a pretty good understanding of what it meant to be a shepherd.
Exactly. Man, that's all right. So I want to read this passage and then we're just going to start digging through some of these. Many of you guys may be familiar with this passage. This is John chapter 10. Yep. And it says in John chapter 10, and I'm going to, I'm going to start at verse 9.
Okay.
No. Yep. I'm going to start at verse 7. So here we go. So Jesus said to them, "Again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep."
That's good. Yeah, I think the first one that just stands out to me the most in there is just the sacrificial nature of it.
Absolutely.
And you see this with David too. He like fights off a lion. He said he fights off the lion and the bear against the sheep that he was in care for or taking care of. And, there's a risk there, right? You know, if you're going to jump, many people would be like, well, if a lion comes, I'm not going to jump in front of a lion to shave his sheep. You know, like,
yeah,
Right?
Right?
Like,
most people
willing
would
to,
not.
Yeah, most people are going to be like, okay, I'm just going to, I'm sorry, sheep, but
count that one lost.
I'm out for me.
I got the rest.
And you see immediately, he's like, no, I'm willing to lay down my life for these sheep because I care that much about them.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes people get this, I know I struggled with this a little bit when I was first believing in the word sheep. We like, I'm not a sheep. I'm not just some helpless little sheep.
Yeah.
But when you realize just how he cares for that and that we are like, we do need protection. We do need help. And we often find ourselves, we are not as strong as we think we are sometimes.
Exactly.
And having this shepherd that's willing to come alongside us through all the battles of the world.
Yeah.
Is really an amazing thing. And that he was willing to lay down his life for that. Mm-hmm.
No, yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because, you have to wrestle with that paradigm of, are we sheep? Right.
Yeah.
And there is even like there's a saying out there. And there's even this article that I read, a leadership article where it's talking about we are lions, they are sheep, or they are lambs. And it's this idea of people see a follower group, a follower typology, or a typology of people based off of their leader. People will categorize them as lions or sheep. So, for example, if you are a fan, I'm just going to say Bob and Tim, right? So let's say you're a fan of Bob. You like Bob. You follow Bob. You're going to see Bob's followers as lions. And you're going to see Tim's followers as sheep, as dumb sheep is what it is. You're going to see Bob's followers as lions because you like Bob and you're a follower of Bob. So we're all lions, right? Mm-hmm. We're part of this pride. And he may be the lead lion, but we're all lions, right?
Yeah.
And the Tim's group, he is the dumb shepherd and they're the dumb sheep. They don't know no better.
Yeah.
They're just following him around because they don't know better. But Tim's group sees it the opposite way.
Yeah.
Tim's group think they're the lions.
We're the lions.
And they're the sheep. And so the sheep are given this negative connotation of, oh, they're dumb sheep. They don't know any better, right?
Yeah.
But what's interesting is there's so many things when it comes to that shepherd-sheep equation where we need to wrestle with and come to terms with. We are helpless without our shepherd.
Yeah.
We're vulnerable. We're helpless. Sheep do not have a way to defend themselves.
Right.
The shepherd has to be there.
Yep.
The sheep are not going to find the green pasture. They're not going to find the water. They're not going to be able to do these things without the shepherd.
And what's interesting is that Jesus is called a shepherd, but he's also called the Lion of Judah.
Exactly. And so, maybe I should have told you about this sooner, but what's it called? I was the other day, I was thinking, oh man, this would be a cool image and even a t-shirt. And I know me and you have been talking about t-shirts a little bit now.
Yeah.
But this would be an amazing image. And I tried to use some AI to do it because I'm not an artist. I can't draw this stuff. So I tried to use some AI and it just was not getting it right. So maybe somebody that knows how to use AI better or is an amazing drawer can do this. But I just had this image of a lion. And I'm thinking, like, think Aslan, but pure white. Mm. Like Aslan as a white lion.
A white lion's
right?
Cool.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. So it's like this majestic, big white lion. And there's a sunset. And or you can even make it a dark sky, right? To give that contrast. Like dark sky, stars in the sky. And he's standing at Calvary or sitting at Calvary right before the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And then in front of him are a bunch of lambs.
Mm.
And I'm just thinking, okay, like that's there he is. There's Jesus, the lion, right? And we're his sheep.
Yeah.
And you just have these lambs all around him. I'm like, we got to make an image.
And a cool thing about that is like, you know, lions are actually predators to sheep.
Yeah.
Could be, right? And, what's interesting is that the Bible also calls the devil a prowling lion.
Yep.
And I came to this revelation a little while ago. Actually, I'm writing a song about it, so look forward to that. But
nice.
This idea that we have the bigger lion.
Come on now.
And the best thing I can use.
Come on now.
The best thing I could use to kind of represent that most people would understand is the picture of the Lion King.
Come on. And, that's what I was thinking.
Scar versus, that's what I was thinking. And maybe that's what they were thinking when they wrote that movie. I don't know.
Come on now.
But you got kind of like this lion, and he is a lion and he's scary, you know? But then you got Mufasa.
Come on now.
And he is this like bigger, stronger lion that's like, no, you yield to me.
Exactly.
Because I'm the bigger lion.
Now that's power.
I just got those chills a little bit. Right. But
his name,
this idea
chills.
Is that like we got the bigger lion on our side.
Exactly.
There is there is a lion, and without the bigger lion, we're just a sheep.
Yep.
And we do have to, and there is something to be afraid of there because he is a lion, and we are not as strong as the devil.
Exactly.
Unless we have the bigger lion with us.
A lion with us.
But then he lives within us, and then there's a whole thing there. But yeah. So I always loved that. When I finally came to that, I was like, they're both lions. But he's the bigger lion.
One of them's bigger. Oh yeah. One of them's like, is that a challenge?
He's the pride owner. You know what I mean? Yeah, he's like, come on. And you could try to sneak around and take me out, but I'm bigger. Yeah.
Come on now. So so we see like I'm putting that on your table or one of our listeners. All right. Look, if you're listening, you're like, oh, I could nail that. Let us know.
Yeah, do it.
Let us know. I'd love to see that image come to life. So as we're looking at this idea of us being shepherds, our first and foremost example is going to be Jesus. But again, we can see this throughout scripture. We see it in David, we see it in the patriarchs. We can see these examples, and even when it comes to, and it just made me think with Peter, right? Peter was a fisherman, but then at the end of John, same book, at the end of John, he's having that conversation with Peter, and he's saying, "Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep," right? Yeah. Like he's pulling him into that
come
role.
Be a shepherd with me.
Of a shepherd, yeah. He's pulling him into that role of a shepherd, and I like to do this. I mean, I have it open in front of me, so old habits die hard. I'm just going to kind of look at this and just kind of go line by line and talk about what stands out here. And so you have in verse 7, the very first thing that I read was, I am the door of the sheep. And we talked about this as a church family. And what's interesting is during this time, this is literal. A lot of times sheep pens, and where the shepherd would keep their sheep, sometimes they didn't have a door or a gate on it. And so if they were out somewhere and it was like kind of like a community pen where there's just a wall and he brought all of his sheep into there, what would happen is the shepherd would actually sit in the doorway so that nothing could get in or out. So you had to go through the shepherd. The shepherd was literally the door.
Yeah.
And that's how he protected those sheep from predators and intruders and also kept his sheep from wandering off.
Right.
And so I love that image there. And it's interesting because as shepherds, to a degree, you are a doorkeeper. And I think what's interesting, because there's going to be a few things in here where we're going to touch on it, and it's going to be like, ooh, that can have some negative connotation to it. But there's a reason why those things develop, because there's always some truth in them. And to a degree, you are a doorkeeper, and you are charged with, really, you have that responsibility of making sure you're protecting and you're vetting what's coming in and out with your sheep. So that doesn't mean you're super over controlling, right? That's where the negative connotation of a doorkeeper can come, where you're super negative controlling. Right. You're not letting anybody in. You're like, nope, I'm the only one that I can trust to speak in this pulpit and nobody else gets to. Yep. And you're that doorkeeper, right? But that negative connotation comes because there's some truth that's really been distorted. And that's what the enemy does. We've talked about that before. The enemy, again, I think that was the very first one of our Advent messages about how the enemy, he doesn't create things. He just distorts what's good.
Yeah.
And so there's this idea of a doorkeeper, and that's good.
And you do. Yeah, you do have to doorkeep some.
Yeah,
absolutely. I have a really...
you can't just let anybody.
Well, yeah,
because right?
I have actually a really terrible story about not doorkeeping well
enough.
Come on
now, get into it.
And I allowed someone to come in and speak that wasn't what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And because I didn't do enough bedding, and it ended up being, I had to do damage control afterwards. And that was terrible. Yeah. And so to some degree, I learned something, and I was like, I need a doorkeep better.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be like what you're saying, like the doorkeeper is just like, no, nothing can enter here except for me.
Yeah.
But also, it's our job to vet well and make sure that we are protecting the people that were under our care.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, think about this, just even in relation to your family or your future family. Are you just going to leave your doors wide open and let anybody come into your house?
Yeah, you're going to let anybody mentor your kids? Just right. anybody?
You're just going to let anybody mentor
anybody,
your
doesn't
kids?
Matter. Just because they said they right. could, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Maybe you're leading a youth ministry. You're just going to... Any Joe Smo that's walking by is like, oh, I want to hang out with these youth. You're going to be like, oh, yeah, great. You want to hang out with younger girls?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, no problem. Come mentor. We won't even background check you or anything. Yeah.
Like, no, you have to, and to a sense, be a good doorkeeper, like a good shepherd.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think that's really important there.
Not let the wolf come in sheep's clothing. As that,
exactly.
That classic example, right?
Yep, absolutely.
They might come in saying, hey, I'm a Christian. I'm just a little sheep here. Just want to hang out with the other sheep.
Yep.
And then you find out that they're not. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's when you have to do something about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that you have to step in and kick them back out of the pen and not let them in, so to speak. Like you have to step in between them, and you have to do your job as a shepherd and protect the sheep when you see they're getting attacked.
And that's where some of that laying down your life has to happen, because sometimes that can be really tough and challenging to relationships
absolutely.
And all that. Yeah,
absolutely. You may put your, especially so if you're in a position of ministry, you actually may even put your role on the line.
You may. Yeah.
You may end up because that may be, you know, some favorite child that you look, we know PKs have a reputation, right? Like that may be.
Yeah.
Let's play into that for the sake of conversation. Let's just say that wolf that you may need to confront, that you may need to bring correction to, that may be the pastor's kid, the lead pastor's kid.
Oh, or someone in eldership even.
Or someone in eldership, right?
You never know.
And so, but you have to, the fact is as the shepherd, you have to do something.
Yeah.
You can't just turn a blind eye. You can't run off. Let me see. So if we jump down right here, where he talks about, where is he? The hired hand in verse 12. You can't be the hired hand that sees the wolf and just runs off.
Hmm. Yeah.
You can't do that. That's another one of those negative connotations I'll hear put on, especially on ministers who are paid to be in their position of ministry, is they're like, oh, but you're not the good shepherd. You're just a hired hand. You're not the shepherd. You're just a hired hand. But again, I'm so glad you brought up that example. For example, with David, with Jacob, when he's talking about how he's taking care of Laban's sheep, we see that even in those roles where you have someone, those weren't David's sheep. Those were David's father's sheep. Yet he put his life on the line protecting those sheep.
And that's true for us too. Yeah.
Right. And
they're not ours.
What it is it's not a matter of whether or not you're the lead shepherd. We know who the head shepherd is. We know who the lead shepherd is. But are you going to be a faithful under shepherd where you're willing to step into dangerous waters, dangerous situation, where you're going to protect and you're going to take care of those sheep, knowing the value of them and loving them like your own?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's, oh man. Did I skip anything? Verse 8. Any that comes with All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. And then he goes into.
I like I don't know, that kind of gives a little bit of a throw to where he says in another verse, he says, the sheep know me and they know my voice.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
And I saw a really cool, it was some TikTok or something, but it was a guy that he was calling out to the sheep that he was a shepherd for. And there was someone else that came and called, did the same calls, because the calls are, you know, the same calls that they use.
Yeah.
To call them in. And there was these other, they may have been shepherds of other flocks even, that were out there trying to call these sheep, and they just like wouldn't move at all. Like it's like, no. And as soon as the guy that was the actual shepherd called them, they came.
Come on now.
And there's something to that, really knowing the voice of the main shepherd. And then being that so relational with your sheep, and that caretaker in a way that they just know that you are for them, and they know your voice as well as they know the Father's voice.
Absolutely. Oh, that's so good. And we can see, because we see examples of people going, and for example, Jacob's kids, we see that they went out and they shepherded together. And we see that there's people who share roles over shepherding sheep, right? And so the sheep will likely know more than one voice, but they're only going to respond to the ones that they know. Mm-hmm. And that means both as followers, as sheep, and as under shepherds, we need to be mindful of that relationship and who we're listening to, whose voice we're giving ear to.
Yeah.
And
honestly, as under shepherds, we should be pointing them towards the lead shepherd.
Absolutely.
Like and our voice does not supersede his.
Exactly. And that's what I was going to say. We should be at a place to where even an under shepherd, we could hear his voice, know his voice, and know when that is lining up with the lead shepherd's voice.
Yeah.
The good shepherd, the main shepherd, right? Because we need to be able to differentiate.
Yeah.
And so we should be able to know and hear and follow both voices. But if there's ever a time where those voices are contradicting, then my hope would be that people who I've been blessed to be a under shepherd for, that when my voice is contradicting the voice of the main shepherd of Jesus, that they would listen to Jesus over me.
Yeah.
Hopefully I've shepherded them well enough to know that's what you should do.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause us as under shepherds will make mistakes.
Yeah.
And that's true of any under shepherd, any lead pastor, even if a mega church, right?
Yeah.
They may have been doing it for 40 years. But they all learned from the shepherds before them too. And sometimes those things are conflicting with the lead shepherd. And so we need to make him the main shepherd.
Exactly. All right. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I just have to say, I have to touch on that real quick. Because look, that's, you have to enter through Jesus. Jesus is the way. He is the life. He is the way to the Father, right? You have to enter through him. It's not entering through A church or B church. It's not entering through C denomination or D denomination. It's not entering through this pastor or that pastor or teacher or this practice or that practice. It's entering through Jesus.
Yeah.
You have to enter through Jesus in order to be saved. And when you enter through him and you're saved, it doesn't stop there. He says you will go in and out. So he is expecting you to go out and do things. He's expecting you to come in and be part of not neglect the gathering, right? The fellowship of breathing. He's expecting you to both come in and to go out and to be doing things. And so I just have to put that out there.
Good. I like that.
Some of us don't come in. Some of us don't go out. We should be doing both. So And that's all I'm going to say about that. Get off my soapbox.
Well, there's definitely other scriptures to back that up. So I think that's a great interpretation of that verse that I haven't really heard before. So I appreciate that.
And then what's it called? Yep. And it says that they're going to find pasture. And then we jump in to the thief. And so is it before I get in on him on this little cub, is there anything that you want? Anything that you want to throw in there?
Go ahead and then I'll add to it.
Okay. So in verse 10, it says the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. We have to recognize, as Brandon said earlier, there is a thief.
Yeah.
There is an enemy, and this is his goal, to steal, to kill, and destroy.
Yep.
And look, if I can lure you with pleasure to steal your peace and to steal your relationship and your time and your growth with God, to steal you away from healthy, godly community, if mm-hmm. I can do that, I will. As the thief, that's what they're going to do, right? Yep. If you're the thief and you're
prowling around, he's walking the exterior.
Exactly. And he's picking people off from the edges.
Looking for someone to like get a little too far out from the herd.
Exactly. And that's, look, knowing how predators work, they walk the edges. They usually don't just run right up into the middle of things.
No. If you're in the middle, you're safe.
Yeah. And so dig in, get deep, get highly, get into community, get deep in there, because it's on those edges, the outskirts. It's when you're walking through things secretly, and so you're isolating yourself because there's not the communication. That's where the enemy tries to come in and pick things off.
Yeah, it's a safety in numbers concept. Yep. You know.
Absolutely.
And it's true. When you got more people around you, you're less likely to get attacked, you know, by a real thief. You know, if you're walking down the street and you're, you know, just by yourself, you're a lot more likely to possibly be attacked or something than if you're walking with a group of people. That's why we do that, right?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And again, I mean, we mentioned earlier, you know, he's stealing, he's killing, he's destroying. He's trying to take and corrupt and destroy what God has already set in place.
Yeah.
That's what he does. And so don't let him steal. Don't let him take away the life that's been given, the good that's been given. So often that's exactly what he's trying to do, is take away what God has already set before us.
Yeah. And that's why one of those shepherd's roles is to recognize when a sheep is going out and disconnecting and trying to reconnect them back to the group.
Exactly. Absolutely. And now again, you know, as a doorkeeper, as a shepherd, they have to go in and out. So that doesn't mean that you can't do anything unless you're doing it with us. Like, don't do anything unless you do it with me, right? That we don't want to be that kind of doorkeeper, the negative, where you're overdoing it and you're trying to control everything that your sheep are doing, right? Yeah. That's not the goal. The goal is that you have trained them well enough to hear the shepherd's voice, where you've equipped them, you've guided them, you've given them guidance so they know where to go and where not to go, right? Where the men in your church, to put it bluntly, they know, you know, where to go and get together and have a good time, and it's not the strip club, right? they know, go meet up at the archery range. That's cool. Go meet up at Top Golf. Go do it. No, do not go to that club. You don't need to be in that club. That's not green pasture.
Yeah.
Go to the green pasture.
yeah.
So we need to make sure we're guiding people in that sense. But the thief, he comes, and then it says, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly.
Yeah. You know, I think of that. He's talking about leading to pastures and stuff, which is a great picture. But also, it almost feels even more like he's bringing the hay bale in and just throwing it on the ground in front of him, you know?
You know? And I feel like that is the case at times. I feel like, again, any of our ranch hands, farmers out there, you know, sometimes you just bring the hay to them.
Yeah.
Right?
Get through the winters. You know, we're not all in the same climate that they were in.
Yeah.
In that area where that made. And here we save and we bring in the provision when they need it. And yeah. I think God does that too.
Absolutely. And then we just have to camp on this word abundantly for a second. I know some say to the full, right? Life to the full, life abundantly. This is life as God intended it to be.
Yeah.
Right. And I think sometimes, and maybe somebody listening, is in a situation like this where you're just trying to survive. Like you're just trying to get through. You're just trying to stay on top of things, right? And you aren't in a place where your life is full of joy. It's not full of abiding in God's spirit. It's not full of healthy relationship. It's not full of well-being, and you're not looking forward to each day, you're just trying to get through each day.
Yeah.
That is not what the good shepherd wants for you.
No.
And that's not what the good shepherd wants for his sheep. And so as under shepherds as well, we need to be mindful and thoughtful of how are those that we're leading, those that we're mentoring and discipling and investing into, are they living and discovering life to the full, mm-hmm. or are they just trying to get by? And how can we help them get to that place where they're enjoying life?
Yeah.
Where they're getting it to the full, where they're being challenged. And this kind of touches on even, I feel like I'm going to keep on coming back to this last couple of days. There's just been this prayer that has been in my heart that we would have a holy discontent, that we would be unsatisfied with just going through the motions.
Yeah. I've always loved that, by the way, the holy discontent. Right. I've heard that before. And yeah, I think we should always be seeking after more of God. And that's the answer, right? The seeking, like when we talk about provision and stuff, you're talking about abundance and provision.
Yeah.
The verse that I always come back to, and it's been kind of my verse for this last whole year, is the seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added to you.
Now.
And that's a verse about provision. If you read the rest, the part leading into it, and I could look it up in a minute maybe. But it's there, like they're being anxious about, are we going to have enough?
Yeah.
And he's like, I know what you need.
Come on now.
I know all that.
Yeah.
And you will have enough. I mean, didn't you see me feed the 3,000 with just a few loaves of bread? And didn't you see me do this? And didn't you see me do that? And then he's like, seek first the kingdom. And if you can seek me and my ways, and make that your priority, all those things are going to come together.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that is such a hard thing for us to grab a hold of. Like,
I think
it's so counterculture.
It is. Absolutely.
It's like we need to provide for ourselves and we need to get out there and nose to the grindstone and we have to do all these things to make sure that we take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
Instead of how can I serve the kingdom and just put my all towards that and know that God is a loving God and that he's gonna care for that.
Exactly.
And it's hard for us to get to that level of trust.
Absolutely.
But I
absolutely
will testify that when you do it he does.
Yeah. He does every time. And I think he's always trying to move us closer and closer to that. I'm so glad that you brought that up because part of that prayer that I've been praying with the holy discontent, really that's perfect chapter. Matthew chapter 6. Like that's a perfect chapter for it, especially when we're talking about this idea of life to the full or life abundantly. I think some people hear that. And I know some people hear that because I hear it preached where people hear abundantly And they think that means, oh, my bank account's going to be flowing. And like, I'm going to have everything that I need, material possessions, not a worry and all that type of stuff. And they're thinking, yeah, I can go out, eat when I want, and I can do this. But that's not the picture that we're getting when we look at the rest of the context. For example, when we're talking about what Jesus was saying in Matthew 6, right? It wasn't a matter of having all of the material wealth and possessions. That's not what life is.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, right? When we seek first the kingdom, he actually will change your priorities.
Exactly.
So our priorities, when we think that the first time we hear that, are those worldly priorities that have been placed on us. Like, well, being successful or having a lot of money is the main priorities of most of us, right?
Yeah.
Because that's just what we're taught, and his kingdom is upside down in a lot of ways. I like that term, that upside down kingdom, because even the way he came into the world and the expectations of who he would be when he came, you know, was like he's gonna be this big king that rides in on a horse and conquers all the other lands, and he was not that, and that was an upside down view of what the kingdom is. And so when we seek first the kingdom, we start, he starts changing our heart.
Exactly.
And those things that we desired before are not the things that we desire now.
Exactly.
And if you're at the beginning of that, just know that your desires will change as you seek the kingdom. And those are good things though. Those changes, they do bring more joy into your life, and you you may not realize what that is because you're not there yet. And that's totally fine. But know that like God is going to change your heart on some of those things. And then the provision that he brings will match more his heart.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I feel like, and I have to speak to this, I feel like this can be a struggle, especially for us young men who maybe you're starting off a family. Right. Maybe recently married or something, have kids, have a family that you're trying to take care of. Because how can you not have concern for the roof over the head and the clothes on the kids' back and the provision of them eating and that kind of thing? And as a man, as a shepherd, like those are your sheep, right? You want them to be taken care of.
Yeah.
So there's a struggle and a balance there. And scripture speaks to that. It's not oblivious to it. Paul talks about how when we're married, we have to pick up concern for things of the world. Right. Because there's this concern but we also see within scripture families that are willing to go through thick and thin and be led by a man of God and seek after God and do with less so that they can have more of a part in the kingdom.
Yeah.
And that's something that as men, we have to be able to know when and where and that kind of that tug and pull and that tension of leading our family in such a way that we're not reliant and our happiness, our joy is not fixed to our material things, but us as a family being a kingdom-minded family, a family that's on mission.
Yeah.
And it's
and
interesting.
Some of it will be material.
Yeah.
Like it will. Like he's going to provide ways for you to eat and be clothed, like he mentions those things specifically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think what it is, especially in Matthew 6, again, we get this beautiful picture. This life to the full, this life abundant, doesn't mean I have so much in overflow and I don't have to worry about a thing.
Yeah.
Because everything's taken care of. It means that you're dependent on God and you're content there. Like you're content with being dependent on him and trusting, knowing that, hey, he took care of the lilies of the field. He's going to take care of me.
Yeah.
He takes care of the birds in the sky. He's going to take care of me. Do I know what I'm eating tomorrow? Nope. God does.
God does.
And you can live life to the full because you're not consumed with worry about those things because there's a trust and a faith in God.
Well, and he knows that worry itself is a stealer of joy.
Oh, yes.
Right. So what he's trying to do is like, don't worry about those things because I got you covered.
Exactly.
And it may not be the kind of abundance that you think of when you think of abundance. But again, I think he changes our heart in that.
Yeah.
And
don't get us wrong. This doesn't mean that you're wrong if you know what you're having for, you have a meal plan.
It doesn't mean,
and you know what you're having for dinner tomorrow. Yeah. That's not what that means. But in some way in your life, with how you're living, with how you're doing ministry, especially if you're doing ministry, you're leading an organization, you're trying to be on mission in your workplace, on your campus, wherever you're at, you should be going about it in such a way that it requires dependence on God.
Yeah.
To where we know, look, if God doesn't come through, we're done. Because if you can do it all, if you could do it all within your skill set, within your like you feel like you have it down, you're comfortable with your ability in it, then that's too much for just you, or that's not enough, I should say, that's not enough. It's not right for you just to be able to do it on your own apart from God showing up.
Yeah.
I mean, we see this with Gideon, for example. Gideon's like the perfect example of this. Because God speaks directly to this with Gideon. He's saying, send these people away. Send all those soldiers back. Nope, there's still too many. Send them back. You're going to be left with 300. Why? Mm-hmm. Because if there's more of you, you're going to think you did it yourself.
Yeah.
Like, he loves it when the odds are overwhelmingly against us, because then we can look back and say, that was God.
That was God.
That was God. We couldn't have done it. That was God.
And then oftentimes I do think he will bless certain people with abundance of finances too.
Yes.
And I think a lot of that comes to, he knows your heart and what you're going to do with it.
Yeah.
He knows if that's going to just land on you or if you're going to be generous with it. You know?
Come on.
And,
that's a gift Paul talks about.
Yeah.
That's a
Some
gift.
Some people are really good at earning money.
Romans
and
12.
And the church... as a whole, I'm not talking about church building necessarily. I'm talking about the church, the people. It all requires that. And so some people are, that's their gift.
Exactly.
Is to fund the ministry of the kingdom.
Exactly.
And God, look, it's so important, bless people in that way.
Yeah. It's so important because in Romans 12, Paul talks about how we're all given different gifts. And, you know, since we've been given these things, let us use them. And he goes on to name different gifts. And before that, he's even talking about how the body, all the parts don't do the same thing, right? And so we're given these different gifts. But when he goes into that list, I mean, he talks about prophecy, he talks about teaching, he talks about compassion, he talks about leading with zeal, and he talks about giving liberally, with generosity, with cheerfulness. Yeah. And it's funny because as you go through that list and as we're talking about, you know, that God will bless some of us with that. I'm going to be honest. I know that's been in my heart. I've prayed, God, make me that person. Give me the gift of generosity.
Yeah.
Overflow my accounts.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's the gift we want. But again, we have to go back just a few verses and remember he apportions the gifts.
Yeah,
he does it by design, and he gives. So that is going to be some of our gifts. Use it, like Paul says. Don't let that go to waste. Use it.
Yeah.
But if that's not your gift, don't sit around moaning and begging for someone else's gift. Use the gift you have.
Yep.
All right. Get me off my soapbox.
You have one.
Get me off my soapbox. I'm sorry.
Everybody has it. Everybody has something.
Oh, man. Okay. So what's it called? Let's look at your list here, because I think we've kind of we've touched on what we want to touch on from this verse specifically as far as walking through it.
Yeah.
So what this list that you had, Let's talk about that a little bit. And how does that relate to some of our young leaders and how they can practice that and walk that out with people that they're leading? And how do we do it in such a way that And I think it's funny because just even as we're talking about these gifts, right, it's like, hey, we have to recognize and value what God has given us, because that's a part of the body that if we're just waiting around for someone else's gift, if we're waiting around to be a hand and we're asking God to make us the hand, and that's where our focus is at, as being the hand like somebody else, but we were meant to be a foot, then now the body can't move.
Right.
Because the foot
can't get to where he needs to be.
The foot's worried about being the hand and not getting the hand where it's supposed to go. Right.
Yeah.
And so this is one of those things, even in that us talking about being shepherds and under shepherds, it's recognizing as well that as shepherds and under shepherds, the flock is bigger than just ours. Right. Yeah. And being able to look at the flock as a whole, and look, if I'm a shepherd, and me and Brandon's a shepherd, and we happen to be grazing in the same field or the same city or the same town, right, in the same community, yep. And I notice one of his sheep getting attacked by a wolf or a lion, am I just going to turn my eye? Oh, that's not my sheep.
No, because we belong to the same lead shepherd.
Yes.
All the sheep are
those
his.
Sheep still belong.
They still belong to the same owner, Jesus. Yeah.
So yep. We need to be looking out for each other and communicating with each other and helping each other with these sheep. And again, I mean, that's even part of that doorkeeping, right?
Yeah. Like one of the first things on there was leading and guiding, right? That's the main one of the core duties of a shepherd. And guidance is leading the flock itself.
Yeah.
But I see this as a unity piece is like, so say we are both shepherds on that same field and you see that.
Come on.
You might be like, hey, Brandon, what if you did it this way? What if you, I don't know if you see this gap over here where this sheep got out and kind of got where the wolf was.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I can help you with that a little bit. So we can co-shepherd a little bit and maybe learn from each other. I would imagine that, and I haven't looked into this specifically, but just like most trades that they all learned under some sort of mentorship.
Exactly.
And maybe even from each other. Like if you're an electrician, you go through with another electrician, and then you might learn from some other electricians as you do the job. So that would be the kind of the same thing is like we don't have to be, because we're under shepherd. We're all under shepherds.
Yeah.
But we don't have to be under shepherds alone.
Exactly. And as under shepherds, so often, our lead shepherd, our head shepherd, he's gonna want his sheep to move towards certain region, towards certain ground. He's trying to take them to a certain pasture to find rest. And that's not just the sheep you are the under shepherd for, but also the sheep that your neighbors are under shepherds for.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that, if we're communicating and we're working together, we're able to help bring all of these sheep towards this green pasture that our lead shepherd wants them to have better together versus I'm going to take my sheep and, you know, if you get there, you get there. If you don't, you don't. That's on you type of deal. But no, we're trying to work together to bring the sheep within our community, within our town, our region, whatever it may be, we're trying to bring them and work together to get all of them towards this green pasture that the lead shepherd is calling us to. And you can't have that if the shepherd, the under shepherds aren't talking. They're never getting together and praying together and seeking.
Or if they're trying to steal each other's sheep.
Yeah, they're trying to steal each other's sheep and they're not seeking the voice of the lead shepherd, right? Mm-hmm. And that kind of thing. And look, I'm so glad you said steal each other's sheep. man,
that's a whole nother thing.
Brandon, why, man, you got me over here itching because, what's it called? But look, short snippet.
We can
on
hit
that
one more in the next episode because we're talking about division.
We hit
about
next
division in the next episode. So,
but I just have to, say, remember that the sheep belong to the lead shepherd more than they do you. And if he wants to move one sheep to another under shepherd for some reason, don't get caught fighting against God.
Amen.
Don't make it about you. Don't make it about you. No. All right. I'm gonna stop right there. We can get more into that because there's lots of.
Yeah, let's talk about that in the next episode.
Yeah, man. Okay, so what else you got there on your list?
So we got protecting. Yeah. So obviously, we're meant to protect against the attacks of the enemy and understand what those are. Understand the tactics of the enemy. You know, understand what that wolf's doing out there.
Yeah, and we said we're gonna talk more about that, right?
Yeah,
because we've kind of been narrowing in on the sheep, but we haven't talked much about how the lion hunts.
Yeah,
we touched on it a little bit.
Yeah, that could be all in that in the next episode. Yeah. Come back next time,
right?
This is gonna be one of those. We're gonna leave you on the hook a little bit,
right?
Come back next time. We're gonna talk a lot about that next step of the actual attacks of the enemy and the division that comes to tries to separate the sheep.
Yeah, and then we're gonna have to talk about stealing sheep.
And stealing sheep. We'll talk about all that. So protection, nurturing, I think we can hit this one. You know, caring for, healing, I think. I would be interested in doing a whole episode on healing at some point because I think it's an underused gift in the church. And that's what shepherds do. They provide that in different ways, both spiritual and mental, but also physical even.
Yeah.
And how do we do that? And so, and then sacrifice, being willing to lay down one's life. And and God, you know, Jesus did that for us, and he does call us to do that as well. And true. You see that. You see that all over the place. We don't see it as much in America because we're not as heavily persecuted as other countries are, but there are people laying down their lives all the time for their sheep.
Exactly.
Yeah. And
I have to jump in there because I don't want us to get too far away from when you said nurture.
Yeah.
And I know there's some people, look, there's some leaders out there who are highly gifted with organizational leadership, with strategy, with systems and all kinds of things, but they're not people. They're just not people.
Like, yeah,
they're not a people person. Right. And look, I'm gonna be honest. Sometimes that's me. I'm an introvert, right?
Okay. Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
I'm an introvert, and I've learned extroverted tendencies.
Yes,
but
shepherding, caring is not just extroversion, though.
Yes, yes. Yeah. But I have to say that because some people will mistake me practicing extroverted tendencies for he loves being around people and no. Right. No,
you just talked about my wife right there. That's pretty much
right?
Her taste.
Like heaven for like, look, if I wasn't married, I'd be in a monastery right now. Like,
you got the monastery look.
Come on now, right?
You just need the hood, bro. Yeah.
I just like send me to an island where I could have my own little monastery, and what? Because on it, seriously, like this is how bad it is. This is how bad it is. All right. When I think about being in a monastery, the only downfall for me is that I wouldn't be the only one there. Like, do I want to be around these guys though? Do I want to be around these other, like they're living pretty close together. I don't know if I want to be around them. Yeah. So anyways, some people just don't have that, like that nurture.
It's not as natural.
Side. It's not as natural for them to nurture. Yes. And as a leader, I mean, we're talking about being a shepherd, right? And knowing that, look, this is something that God will grow and develop in you.
Yeah.
But you may never be a great nurturer. You need to find others that are. And you need to equip them for that. Because you could be an amazing preacher, you know, teacher, prophetic voice. An apostolic leader who has vision and knows how to get there and is like, come on, and is, you know, kicking people's hide to get there. But you also are going to need on your team, in your group, those that can nurture.
Yeah.
Because while you're telling everybody, come on, let's go. You need that nurturer who is carrying the cart for the little old lady you're leaving behind.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that's a good point that we're not all gifted the same. Yeah. And there are people who are more gifted in it than others. I will say this, though. I would challenge that in a little bit in that we are all called to shepherd.
Absolutely.
To some level.
Absolutely.
And
why I think God will grow us in it.
I do think
He'll challenge us in it. He'll grow us in it. But there's always I shouldn't say they're always going to be, because you may be a perfect nurturer, you know, you listening. But I will say there's always going to be someone that nurtures better than I do.
Oh, sure.
And I need to recognize and be able to tap into that. That doesn't excuse me from trying to nurture.
Yep.
But I also need to recognize there's other people with gifts that can be activated there.
And I imagine this is still true, just like it is for my wife, because you're basically describing my wife and how she is. It's like she doesn't want to do a lot of peopling, she calls it. But God has really grown her love for people.
Come on now.
The longer we've been following the Lord, the more she loves and wants to, she wants to care for people in a less extroverted way.
Yeah.
So one thing I think actually is just to go into extroversion and introversion a little bit is extroverts like myself. I'm super extrovert. So this is fun, because we're like a really good, really good combo here. I actually think those work really well together, an extrovert and an introvert. But I'm really good at loving wide. Mm. I'm not as good at loving deep.
Okay.
I think extroverts are really good at, like, I'm going to try to hit everybody, and I'm going to try to make everybody at least seen.
Yeah. You don't want to leave anybody out.
Yeah. I'm really good at making sure people aren't left out and that kind of stuff. But, because I'm so wide, it's harder for me to get deep.
Yeah.
And so I think introverts actually have a really, strong capability for nurturing, in the sense that they're usually like, we'll get super deep with a few people. I don't know if that's you or not, but
I can see that.
But I think that's really common for introverts, and that is needed. Like, because if everything's surface level all the time, you're never going to get anywhere. And so that's what I have to work on as a super extrovert, is how do I not just be surfacey?
Yeah.
Which I think I've learned to do that better too. But then she, on the other hand, is well, I don't need to try to have everybody in my inner circle, but the ones that I do, man, I'm going to pour into them.
Exactly.
And I love that. And that's why she actually went into counseling. Cause it's a more of a one-on-one relationship.
Yeah.
And introverts are great at one-on-one.
Yeah.
So I think that, and that's just, you know, when we talk introvert, extrovert, all that kind of stuff, that's all just God's design, in my opinion.
It is. Absolutely. I mean, and honestly, it's giftings. I feel like it is. It's part of how He wires us to, again, make us a more complete body. We can't.
And then we need each other. Another reason to need each other. Yeah. Yeah.
We need each other.
And you notice, like, almost all, and I don't know if this is true for you, but almost all relationships are an extrovert and an introvert.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of cross. Yep.
Yep. Yep.
Opposites attract. There's a reason they say that.
They do.
Opposites attract.
And I get it, because if they had two extroverts, man, you'd be so disorganized.
That's good. That's funny. Oh man. No, yeah. It's funny, because I agree with your wife there. I feel like some of my, so as we do this, we podcast, because we want to invite others into the conversation and talk. And I've even mentioned how, you know, I love us, you know, being able to talk and invite people into conversation. Yeah. But an ideal for me, and this is something that some of you guys may be looking for, is to have more one-on-one conversations when it comes to unity and guidance.
Yeah.
Let us know. Like that, when you say that about your wife, about the one-on-one, I'm like, yeah, that's me. That's where I want to be.
Yeah.
I prefer one-on-one discipleship, coaching, mentoring, hey,
yeah. And I love a group. I love a group, man.
Yeah, yeah. You love it. So look, if we need to do some, groups. Brandon's got it covered. We got one-on-one coaching. Me and you, let's make it happen. But let's continue the conversation. All right.
I'm totally fine with one-on-one. I do like groups.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an extrovert.
See, but even how you say it, like, I'm good with one-on-one, but I like groups. And I'm like, Yeah, I'll do a group. But
yeah, right.
One on one. Yeah.
That's probably why we were why we ended up working so well together.
Exactly.
Honestly. It's just our difference. What's we haven't really delving into that before. That's good. I like
That's funny. All right. So is there before we close up, because we've definitely like we've definitely hit time.
Oh yeah.
And so yeah,
if you're still listening, thanks, thanks for sticking around.
No, yeah, absolutely. thank you, Sean, for not kicking us off. But Sean's our magician behind. I shouldn't say magician. Some that made us upset some people. Sean is the
he's the brains.
Sean is the brains. Yeah. He's the man behind the curtain. So what's it called? And if you don't know what that is, then I'm not going to go into it.
We don't have time.
You don't have time. And it may upset some people. So what's it called? So is there anything that we want to touch on before we close up?
No, I think we hit a lot of good stuff there. I think it was no,
absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
Just follow the good shepherd, I guess, is the biggest thing. And know he is there to guide you in your shepherding.
Yeah.
If you're a young leader.
Yeah.
And if you're not, he will be if you decide to take that route.
Yeah. 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 If you're not following the good shepherd well, then you're not a good under shepherd. You're a rogue shepherd. You're a hired hand that's gone rogue. And so we need to make sure that in our shepherding and our leading of others, we are even better at following the good shepherd. We want to make sure that we are so strong at following the good shepherd, we don't have to worry about leading. So often we'll pour into.
That'll preach. It's like you have to be a good follower to be a good leader.
You do. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So often we're so focused on being a good leader. If we can make ourselves a good follower of the good shepherd, then you'll find yourself being
a good shepherd. Leader. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're with him. You're doing what he does and you're being like him. And so that's how it works. All right. I think that's it. And
so basically, just to sum up a little bit. So that's part of our mission statement. And the reason we're talking about this at all today is that's our, one of our goals is to help lead you guys into being good shepherds.
Yeah. Yep. To equip young leaders to shepherd the church away from division and towards a unified movement. And so we'll be talking more about what we mean by division and some of the elements that feed into that. And then we have lots of other great conversations coming down the pipe. Some that we're even talking about today as far as stealing the sheep, what it means to be a shepherd that's healing and the healing that needs to take place within the church. And lots of other good things that we have. If you have topics that you would like us to touch on, let us know. If you got something from this one, let us know. Comment. Would love to hear some stories, some examples, some thoughts on shepherding and being an under shepherd, what it means to shepherd within the church or within the body of Christ. And that's not, and I have to say within the body of Christ, because sometimes when we say within the church, we start thinking buildings. And church buildings, but you may be a leader within an organization that's completely secular, but you're there on mission.
Yeah.
You are bringing the kingdom of heaven to bear there within your work.
Shepherding sheep that don't even know they're sheep.
You're shepherding there, right? You're helping bring sheep into the fold, or you're shepherding sheep that are already there. And that is so important. That's something that we need more and more and more of within the kingdom. Is that we are on mission no matter where we go, because that's what he calls us to do. That's why he tells us that we're going to go in and out, right? Yep. as his sheep. So that's awesome. I think that about closes it up.
I'll leave you with a psalm here. Psalm 23:1.
Come on.
The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing.
Come on. God bless. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Thank you so much for joining us on the In Hope podcast today. Remember to like, subscribe, share, join this conversation, and invite others to this conversation.
And if you would like to be a part of our ministry moving forward, we would love to have you jump on our support team. And you can find that on the website.